Corporal Taylor. I'm in interview room number 2, the Professional Standards Unit, along with my partner, Sergeant Chris Revere. The date is Tuesday, October 23rd at 4:32 a.m. We are here with Officer David Enriquez. And Officer Enriquez, you do realize you're being recorded, correct?
Yes.
And please tell me what your badge number is.
3082.
Okay. And here with Officer Enriquez is his POA attorney. I'm conducting an administrative investigation into the shooting incident in which you've been involved. During this investigation, I will be gathering facts and looking at circumstances which led up to the shooting incident. At the conclusion of the investigation, the administration will review the incident to determine if department policy has been followed. You're admonished that if any information is obtained, either during the investigation or during the administrative review that indicates you violated any department orders, rules, regulations, policies, or procedures, you could be subject to disciplinary action. Do you understand?
Yes.
I'm giving you a direct order not to discuss this investigation or your interview with anyone other than your recognized representative or myself or as compelled by law or legal proceeding. Failure to obey this order could result in charges and possible termination. Do you understand?
Yes.
Due to the nature of this administrative investigation, Government Code Section 3303H requires me to advise you of your rights. Therefore, it is important that you understand that criminally you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in court. You have the right to an attorney before and during questioning. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed before questioning if you wish. Do you understand each of the rights that I have explained to you?
Yes.
With these rights in mind, would you like to speak to me now?
No.
While you have the right to remain silent with regard to any criminal investigation, you do not have the right to refuse to answer my questions administratively. This is an administrative investigation. I am therefore ordering you to answer all of my questions fully and honestly. If you refuse to answer my questions, your silence could be deemed insubordination and result in administrative discipline up to and including termination. Any statement you make under compulsion of the threat of such discipline cannot be used against you criminally, nor in any civil proceeding except in limited circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Prior to coming in for the interview, I understand that with Sergeant Revere that the
district attorney,
DA, and Orange County Sheriff's CSI folks collected your duty weapon. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they do a round count?
Yes.
Okay. And are you wearing the uniform now that they photographed you in?
Yes.
Okay. And just for the record, Officer Enriquez is wearing the standard short sleeve navy blue patrol uniform with Santa Ana Police patches on both shoulders, nameplate, and police officer badge, along with it's like leather Sam Brown, Glock firearm, two spare magazines, pack set, keys, taser, spare taser cartridge, two single handcuff cases, pepper spray, and a folding knife in the set pocket and flashlight in the other set pocket. And is this what you were wearing earlier tonight when you were involved in this incident?
Yes.
Okay. And were you driving a marked black and white Santa Ana police car?
Yes.
Oh, and black boots. And were you using any type of a recording device tonight during this incident?
No.
And were you wearing gloves?
No.
And what time did you begin your shift tonight?
At 1800 hours.
And it's my understanding Officer Graham was your partner tonight, is that correct?
Yes.
And were you driving or was he driving?
I was driving.
Do you recall your unit number? off the top of your head. If you're not sure, that's okay.
No, I don't, because it's not the normal car I use, so okay. I couldn't remember.
And did anything unusual happen during your shift prior to the shooting?
No.
If you could please take us, starting with when you received the call, what information you received on the radio, what information you received on the computer, where you came from through the entire incident until the conclusion, if you...
Okay. Officer Graham and myself were working a two-man unit, and we were assigned to the Southeast District due to staffing. Shortly after, or about after 2200 hours, 10 p.m. or so, we get a call from dispatch, a call for service sent to us that there was a man with a gun, and they were receiving several calls in the area of 500 West Walnut near the Santa Ana High School. More locations were given, such as Ross, Pine, and that sort. I was driving, and I remember we were in the area of 500 East Bishop or Wakeham, but it was on just east of Maine, fairly close to the school. We acknowledged the call. We're traveling westbound, and as we're traveling to the call, I'm getting information from dispatch. There's a male subject, Hispanic, dark clothing, and they are getting several calls. Please stand by. So I'm getting this information and driving westbound Bishop, and then I go northbound Ross. I get to right to the south end of the high school, right there near the corner. And as I'm driving northbound Ross now, we're still getting additional information from dispatch. Okay, the man with the gun is seen running in the alley eastbound near Pine and Ross. So now I'm traveling northbound Ross, and my attention is drawn to the middle of the street. And from a distance, I would say 500 feet or so, but clearly because I see four or five people in the middle of the street. I tell Officer Graham, he acknowledges that, hey, I see people in the street, and they're waving at us. And I could see things illuminating from their hands, which I believe to be cell phones. So I immediately recognize that as victims or people definitely wanting to get my attention. So I speed up in that direction, again, still northbound Ross, approaching Pine Street. People, I have my window down, and instantly, from the group of four or five men and women, he's over there, he has a gun. I was at the corner of Pine and Ross, and that's where I stopped to get the first bit of information. So I began to turn my car east. Pine, they say, no, he's over here in the alley. Over here, he has a gun. I said, okay, so then instead of going east, I just now continued north and went through the east-west alley that is north of Pine, south of Walnut, directly east of the high school. So on the west side, I have the high school, Santa Ana High School, and east, mm-hmm. I have that alley. I drive in. People are pointing right there. He's right there on the fence. He has a gun. I'm driving. I turn. I go eastbound. And as I'm going, I turn on my lights, my overheads, my brights. I get about mid-block through the alley. I see a male approaching the fence and starting to climb it. And as I'm approaching him, Officer Graham exits the passenger side, and we both begin to approach him. We're from about 100 feet away from the fence. The guy's on the fence, and in my background, I hear him. That's him. He's right there. So I still continue walking forward. I realize it's a very critical situation. I hit my emergency pack set button. I was hearing radio traffic. Don't know if it was pertinent to what was going on, but I wanted to get on the air and let dispatch know what was going on. Well, as I'm looking at the subject climbing the fence, he looks at me, and I see his facial expression. jaw drops. He looks, and eyes are big. He is definitely surprised to see us. And couldn't make out what he said, but his lips moved, and it could have been, oh, wow, or oh, my God, or oh, shit. So he starts to climb back down the fence as we're approaching. We're now closing in on him. My handgun is out. Stop right there. Stop. Don't move. Stop. I'm getting closer. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. He's looking. He's still standing. He's kind of looking around. He slowly starts to go down. I tell him, keep your arms out to your side and stay down. He complies. He goes down. And now me and my partner are close enough to the fence, and he's on the other side of the fence. Well, within about a second or two, he quickly looks up, and I said, keep your head down. Don't move. Stay down. Our guns are pointed at him. I'm giving him commands. Officer Graham's giving him commands also. He's getting up, and now he's looking left and right. Tell him, keep your head down. Don't move. Well, he starts to bring his hands in close and get him in a push-up position and begins to get up. Meanwhile, I'm still hearing people, that's him, that's him, that's him. He has a gun, and he's not complying with my command. And I'm thinking, what is this guy doing? Just stop right there. Stay down. That's it. That's all he had to do. He's getting up. He's looking around, and then he starts to shake his head. No. Don't move. Don't move. It just came out so many times. I have my gun pointed at him. Don't move. He then looks around behind him, and then he turns around, and he starts to run, and I lose sight of his hands. And I'm thinking, my backdrop is dark. It's obscure. What's back there? It's cluttered, there's a truck, and this guy's running, and he's getting away. I've received multiple calls, or from dispatch, we have multiple calls coming in. Guy with a gun, me going on scene, people saying he's right there in the alley, he has a gun, he has a gun. This guy was posing an immediate threat. And also, too, where was he going? In the back. I mean, it was dark, it was obscure, and he was getting away. He knew we were the police. So to stop him, I fired 4 rounds at him. And then Officer Graham was climbing the fence, got over. He starts going after the subject. I had not had a chance to put out any of this. It's happening fast. I holster my weapon to not leave my partner. I climb the fence. I get cut. We run after him. I almost trip. It's small. It's tight. It's very dark. Now it's very dark in the driveway where we're at. And Officer Graham takes him into custody. I have an opportunity to reach for my radio, put it out, and that's when officers arrive.
Okay. We'll go back to the beginning, actually. We'll do a little bit of foundation first. How long have you been a police officer?
6 years.
And have you had the opportunity to work Southeast during that time?
Yes.
About how much?
4.5 years, maybe.
Okay. Would you say you're pretty familiar with the type of activity that goes on in that neighborhood?
Absolutely.
And what kind of activity do you get there?
Throughout my experience in working in the Southeast District, I myself personally, with my peers, have been in foot pursuits of gangsters, people tagging. There's a lot of east-west, north-south alleys that run from Sycamore, Broadway, Birch, all west. There's been some problem houses, people running, abandoned houses, trespassing calls, on the weekend parties with people trespassing, breaking in, gangster parties, if you will. A lot of gang-related activity that warrants a constant response to that particular area. either for calls for service or self-initiated calls.
And what kind of gang-related activity do you see there?
Graffiti. I remember for a long time, lots of problems with people shooting guns in that area, stabbings, robberies from people walking up and down Birch, Broadway. Everything that comes, all the major felonies that come with a gang area, if you will. So those kinds of calls that I personally have responded to over the years and just talking to the people.
Okay. And while you're en route to the call, would it make any difference in your mind if it was just one single call of a man with a gun as opposed to having several people calling in?
Yes. Yes.
Did that tend to lend more credibility to the call?
Absolutely. Oftentimes, in my experience, you get one caller, maybe anonymous, somebody that doesn't want to give their information. I understand this was a person that was giving their information. The high school was a point of interest there. One call is enough. Two is very credible. Arriving on scene and seeing four or five people desperately trying to get my attention, saying, he's right there, don't go down Pine Street, he's in the alley, he's right there. I'm turning that corner and I'm hitting a blind spot. How close is he? Mm-hmm. And it definitely made that much more of a difference in reference to credibility.
And as you said that you traveled down the alley, you saw this subject climbing the chain link fence?
Correct.
Did you see any other pedestrians or any other people in the area?
No.
Okay. So when you turn the corner and they're saying, he's right there, this is the only person that you see?
Absolutely.
when you said he was climbing the fence, was he on the inside climbing to come out into the alley, or is he in the alley climbing inside?
He was on the inside climbing towards me, so east to west. Inside, climbing out towards me.
And do you recall what the, pardon me, what the suspect description was that came out on the call?
Male Hispanic, brown sweater, blue pants, black hair. Believe there may have been two suspects also too that were mentioned in the call.
And was there, as far as the physical description, were there any similarities with this person that you found climbing the fence?
Yes. The male Hispanic part, dark pants.
Have you had, in your experience, other foot pursuits?
Yes.
And have you also assisted on perimeters with other officers who had foot pursuits?
Yes.
Have you ever had in your experience where when people run from the police, they shed layers of clothing in order to appear different?
Yes, they will discard articles of clothing.
Okay. So the fact that this guy wasn't wearing the brown sweater, or I'm sorry, back up. What type of shirt was he wearing?
He had a white t-shirt.
Okay. So merely the fact that he didn't have the brown sweater on didn't necessarily mean that this was not your suspect, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you recall seeing a brown sweater or sweatshirt in the area around where the suspect was?
No, I don't recall.
Okay. You indicated that there is significant gang and tagger activity there. Was there anything about his appearance or behavior that would lead you to believe that he might be a gang member or tagger?
Initially, not right away. Initially, no. I mean, he had a white t-shirt. If anything, the the dark blue pants, baggy pants. I'm sorry, not the color, but the baggy pants. And I was going more off of the body language.
Okay. And is that unusual to have a police officer, somebody said that that it was obvious that you were the police, that he should have known that, correct?
Correct.
And
yes.
Is it unusual to have a police officer pointing a gun at somebody, giving them orders, and they don't do what they're told?
For them not to do what they're told?
Correct.
No, it's not. Usually they'll comply.
And did that heighten your fear or heighten your sense of danger in the situation that he wasn't going with the program?
Absolutely.
Based on what he was wearing at the time you saw him with a t-shirt, could he have had a firearm hidden on his person somewhere?
Oh, yes. Yes. The shirt, the white shirt, was over his waistline. The pants were baggy. I had not had an opportunity to search him from where I was. Definitely.
I think we'll go to the sketch. And again, I'm no artist. This is not to scale. This over here is Ross, indicating north this direction. Pine here, walnut. If I understand correctly, you and Officer Graham came up Ross, turned into the alley this direction. And like I said, this is not to scale, but if it was, if this were, then the alley would kind of extend out off the page here.
I see the sketch, and I can identify with it.
Okay. And did you drive all the way down to the T intersection of the alley, or partway down?
I believe I was just short. I didn't break the plane of the north-south alley, so I was still facing eastbound, just west of the north-south alley.
Okay.
So that was too much. I did not go into the north-south portion.
Okay. And you said you lit him up with your spotlights and...
Correct.
...and so forth. In addition to the lights from your vehicle, do you recall what the lighting was like in the alley?
Yes. Don't know if it's the right color, but it was the overhead amber parking lights, if you will, or alley lights. It wasn't dark. It was illuminated.
Okay. Do you recall in the yard whether there was any light or if it was darker as it got away from the alley?
I do recall that it was not lit, so it was darker as it further pushed back into the alley.
Okay. So as you proceeded east through the yard, you lost light?
Correct.
Okay. We'll use the blue pen to indicate a G for Officer Graham, E for Enriquez. We'll use the red pen for suspect. We'll just use S for suspect.
Okay.
Let me back up. At what point do you believe that he saw you recognize, oh my, this is the police? Were you still in the car? Were you out walking?
When I put my vehicle in park and exited.
Okay.
So right when I drove up, turned on my lights, and stopped just short of the alley. So park, exited, that's when I saw his facial expression.
Okay. And you said that he climbed back down off the fence then at that point, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And did he stay near the fence? Did he move around? Do you recall what he was doing?
He was looking left and right just for a few quick moments as if he was looking for an escape route. That's what I felt he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, I can't go forward because the cops are there, but let me look around to see where I can go. So he's looking around, and that's when you know, I started to close in on him and issue verbal commands from way back here.
Did this seem cluttered to you? Were there obstructions?
Oh, yes, I've been through that particular alley, and yes, I have seen that, and it definitely was very cluttered.
Okay. And when you gave him commands to lay down, you said that he initially began to comply?
Correct.
And can you indicate just with a red S where it was that he started to lie down? Roughly.
Right.
You know, this. And if you could, with the blue pen, if you could indicate with an E where you were, with a G where Officer Graham was, if you know where he was.
Sure.
As you're giving him commands and he's lying on the ground.
Sure. I know Graham was to the south of me. I was about here, right next to him.
About how far in feet, because again, this isn't really to scale, about how many feet do you think you were away from Officer Graham, roughly? I realize your main focus was on the suspect, not him, but...
No, I understand. He was about 10 feet, maybe? 5 or 10 feet? Very close.
Okay. And if you could describe in a little more detail for me what it was that the suspect was doing and or saying and what it was that you were saying to him when he was on the ground and proceeded to then get up.
Okay. He was down, and he initially went down. He complied with putting his arms out. And at this time, he kept looking up at us. And I kept ordering him, keep your head down, keep your head down. I wanted an opportunity to radio my communication to get more units to guide in and to safely apprehend this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had not had an opportunity to do that. So I'm telling him, keep your head down, keep your head down. Don't move, don't move. And he's going down, he's on his stomach, and then within a couple seconds, he starts looking up at us. I'm like, okay, stay down, stay down. Well, he starts shaking his head, no, getting up, and he's opening up his vision. He's looking, and I could tell he's looking for an escape route because, you know, keep your head down, and he keeps looking around, and then his hands come closer, and I go, I've seen this before. He's not going with the program, and he's bringing his hands in. Again, don't move, stay down. Gets it in a push-up position, gets up, brings his feet in, still can't see his waistline, have not had opportunity to search him, have not radioed my communication or my activity. Then he turns around, and his hands are close to him, and I said, you know, with what's going on and everything and his movement, I don't want to get sucked in. It's dark, it's obscure back there, it's cluttered. You know, he's dictating this. And then as he's turning around, I go, this guy, he's fleeing. And I have to stop him. So then I fired the four rounds in his direction.
Okay. Based on the information that you had with the calls for service, the people that are yelling at you that he has a gun, is this all a residential area here? Not including the high school, but...
Yes, but, just but. East of the high school, it is residential with north, south, east, west alleys. That area is residential.
Okay. Did you have any reason to believe that that person belonged in that yard?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but then was it your fear that if this individual who you believe to be armed, based on what you're told, escapes, that he may be a danger to the people in the immediate vicinity there?
Absolutely. If he keeps going, he's working in an act of desperation. What's he going to go? And then if I get in there and I get sucked in, are there more people back there? Is he going to go somewhere where he can use a weapon against me where I get sucked in, I lose my partner? You know, he knows that area better than me. Are his friends, associates waiting? Is it an ambush? All of those things were going through my head. I've got people screaming in the back, that's him, that's him. This guy gets away, it's dark, I'm going to get sucked in. He has a weapon, they're telling me. All of this happened very, very quickly. All of those things are calculating, and my number one priority is to stop this guy before he hurts anybody else.
You think he was going to shoot you?
Yes. Let me ask, I'm sorry, if mine. Do you have any experience or training with suspects who are armed who will flee from officers to attempt to get in a position where they have cover so that they can possibly attack an officer?
Yes, I do.
And was that thought part of your state of mind which led you to discharge your firearm?
Absolutely, it was.
The positions that you've already indicated here, is this the same position you were in at the time that you fired at the suspect, or had you moved?
I had moved. As I'm firing, I move north a few feet because he's running this way, so I'm just coming this way away from my partner.
Okay.
So I don't come in closer to Officer Graham. I flank or I sidestep to the left and as I fire the rounds.
Okay. If you could, with a dash line with a red pen, indicate the suspect's direction of travel and approximately where you think he was at the time that you fired at him.
Okay. Right about here, through a small dash indicating that he's running east in between this truck that was here and these cans and this, there's like a wall there. Don't remember how high it was. And for me, as I was shooting, can I articulate this?
Yes, please. Okay.
I'll put a dash, a couple. So I'm shooting the subject as he's running, and I'm moving also. So he's moving, and I'm moving. So I'm moving north, he's running east.
Okay. And you drew the dots too. There were, at least when I was there, provided they weren't moved, I don't know if this was the same when you were there, there's a green Dodge pickup here and there were four trash cans between the pickup and the garage,
mm-hmm.
for the neighbor's garage. Does that sound about like the layout when you were there?
Yes. And we are talking about when I shot the four rounds and not when he was taken into custody yet.
Correct. Yeah, okay. We're still back here.
Okay.
The line that you've drawn so far goes like back to like about the first trash can.
That's correct.
Okay.
Which I remember more clearly, the edge of the pickup truck.
Okay. If you could just put let's go, I guess, an X there where approximately where he was when you began to fire at him. And this is approximate.
Yeah, he's here when I contacted him.
He gets up.
He gets up, starts running, and it's like right about here.
Okay. And he's continuing to move as you fire?
Right. He was running when I was shooting.
Okay. And did he ever stop running, or did he keep going?
He kept running east.
Okay. Did you think you struck him? At this point?
Yes.
Okay. And did he give some indication that he was hit?
I just heard him say, ow.
Okay. And at the time suspect starts running, you start firing, where was Officer Graham?
As I fired and I'm moving, he had hopped the fence. And he now started to run after. I holstered my weapon and jumped over the fence also.
Okay.
So he was close to me, and as I was firing, he was jumping over the fence.
Okay. But he wasn't already over the fence with the suspect at the time, as far as you know?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. Do you recall what route Officer Graham took as he chased the suspect?
Yeah, directly east.
Okay. And can you tell us where the suspect continued to flee?
Yes, the suspect came using dashes, and right about here, the front of the pickup truck, that's where Officer Graham finally caught up to him, took him into custody, and I was directly behind him.
Okay. And do you know whether or not any additional force was used to take him into custody?
No. No, I don't know.
Okay. And was Officer Graham able to get him handcuffed by himself, or did you help him, or?
He was able to handcuff him. I felt at that moment, him being my partner, that he was in control of that instance, that incident, or that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
So then I took it upon myself to radio the activity.
Okay. And then you stay there with him until additional officers arrived?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know where the suspect was struck?
I saw blood from his lower back or buttocks area.
Okay. Do you know what your backdrop was at the time that you were firing at the suspect?
Yes.
And could you explain it to us?
The backdrop to me appeared to be a vacant res. Did not seem well kept. It was a big backyard that was cluttered with trash cans, objects, old cars, something that looked like it didn't have a lot of attention or foot traffic through it. No lights were working in the backyard, so it was a backdrop that I felt confident engaging in.
Okay. So as you're firing, and I'm not going to draw on here, I'm just going to kind of indicate, if, correct me if I'm wrong, sort of at this angle from like where the gate opens.
Correct.
Toward the suspect who's now moving behind the vehicle.
Correct.
Okay. Again, it's not to scale, but it appears that the garage here and the wall and this truck were perhaps your backdrop as you began to fire at him?
Right, in that southeast direction, yes.
Okay. And were you worried about Officer Graham being in the way at all when you were firing? Or was it your opinion that he was far enough off to the side out of the way?
No, I wasn't worried. I mean, I knew he was close, and as I began firing, I knew he was jumping the fence. But, no, I felt comfortable and confident. That was not an issue for me.
Because you had opened up the space a little bit.
I'd opened up the space. I started to move. I knew he was close, but I was on the target. I was on the subject, and I knew my partner was there, but I did not feel at all that there was any threat or danger to him, not one second.
Okay. And did you say you fired a total of 4 rounds?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my recollection, 4 rounds.
And to your knowledge, did Officer Graham fire at all?
He did not.
Okay.
Did the suspect speak to you in English?
Yes.
Did he ever speak any Spanish while you had contact with him?
No.
Did you believe the suspect had a gun throughout this entire episode?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And did you believe he was going to use it against you or your partner?
Without a doubt.
Or the public.
Okay.
definitely.
All right. So you feared for your life?
Yes,
I did. Graham's life? And whoever else this guy might go out and shoot at?
Yes, and by this point, because everything was happening so fast, I was getting there faster than the information was being relayed to me, so I didn't know if someone was already shot, hurt. I hear gun, people saying over there, he's right there. I'm interrupting a felony in progress, and I have several people. Who's hurt? Who's shot?
And has it been your experience in the past that as you respond to these type of incidents that are rapidly evolving, that you're not getting a complete picture of the situation from dispatch because it's evolving?
Yes, because there's a delay, correct.
Okay.
I have nothing, thank
you. Do you have anything else that you want to add that maybe I forgot to ask or that you'd like to clarify before we finish up?
No, I think I've had an opportunity to explain it the best I can and articulate it the best way. And I don't, at this time, I don't have anything else.
Okay. Alrighty. Time is 5:14 a.m. and we'll go off tape.